far country, to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the word of the Lord. I'll not spend our time directly in this parable that the Lord gave us. Here in this chapter, we're going to dwell on a little bit of one specific phrase. But it is the parable of the pounds and how that this man that did send and go off to a far country to receive a kingdom. In other words, there was ground that he was taking for himself and for his kingdom that he was going to set down the ground rules or the laws for that area. And that when he left with some of his men some money. He left with them some talents, some pounds. And the Bible said when he returned, he said unto them, occupy until I return. Now you'll go down and find out that some of them got upset and said, we'll not have this man to rule over us. And my friend, the time came to pass that the Lord particular nobleman, specifically the Lord of this area, my friend, put down those that rebelled against him and rewarded those that invested wisely and so forth. And he did rule over them in the end. So is also what it will be with our Lord. When Jesus comes in the clouds, he will rule and reign forever and ever. And listen, you're looking at a preacher that believes in the millennial reign, but if all you believe is that Jesus is going to reign 1,000 years, you're way off base. That's only the beginning. He will rule and reign forever and ever. And I'm thankful for that. But friend, he did say specifically in verse 13, where we want to preach tonight, he said, and he called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now I will say this evening, truly he is coming. But the question is, will we occupy until he comes? Now to occupy is to be in business, particularly the business of merchandising. It means when you sold everything off yourselves, don't take your profits and go bury them in the ground somewhere or another. But take those profits and invest in new merchandise. Restock the shelves. Keep merchandise and my friend, stock supplied on the shelves. Keep inventory and keep doing business until it comes. Amen. In other words, stay in business. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't cash in. Don't retire. Stay in business until I come. I want to say these are uncertain days. These are difficult times. These are perilous times. And the question I have is, will we continue to occupy? I mean, now's not the time to quit. Now's not the time to give up. I mean, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And the thing that we must do is occupy until he comes. And now I'll say here tonight that we all have occupied a place. But to my friend, few have occupied in business. Amen. All have occupied a place or a position. We've all taken up space. But have we all taken up the business of serving God? Jesus said when he was but 12 years old and his mother and father took him to the temple. And to my friend, his mother thought he was with his father. His father thought he was with his mother. And they left him at the temple. And they got on down the road somewhere or another. And they said, wait a minute, where's Jesus? And they went back and searched the city of Jerusalem and found him in the temple. And his mother was scared to death and nervous. And like mothers do sometimes, she said, son, why have you done this to us? You've worried us to death. I can just see her just ready to chew him out, you know. And I mean, just all tore up. And she said, he said, what? Should I not be up and about my father's business? I want to say, friend, so it is with us. It's time we be up and about the Father's business. That we occupy until he comes. That we do more than occupy space. But that we occupy in business. That we merchandise for our Lord. All have occupied a position. All have occupied a place. But few have occupied in business. A few have occupied in merchandising of the business of the Lord. I want to give you two things this morning, two areas that I want to preach on here in the service tonight. First of all, I want to say the lost occupy a place. The lost occupy a place. I want to say they occupy a place of unconcern. Amen. So many are lost and don't even seem to care. They seem unconcerned about the position that they're in. But I want to tell you, friend, He said, occupy till I come. He is coming. He is coming. He that shall come will come and will not tarry. The Lord, the same Jesus that went away, He is coming again in like manner. He is coming, and you better be ready when Jesus comes in the clouds. Not everybody will be ready. Some will run for the rocks and the mountains and the hills. They'll fall on them to hide them from the face of the Lord. My friend, many will be left behind without help and hope. They'll suffer the wrath of God on all the unrighteous deeds and ungodly things that they have committed. I want to say, friend, and yet so many of them have been warned time and time and time and time again. And for some reason, they're unconcerned. They're uncaring. They're unbothered. But friend, hear me. A man may be unbothered and unconcerned and uncaring, but that'll not stop him from going to hell with a lackadaisical attitude. Amen. That's right. Oh, God, help us. The lost occupy a place of unconcern. I want to tell you about the worst place you could be tonight is to be lost and not to be concerned about it. I mean, it'd be bad to be lost, but if you're lost and that doesn't bother you, if you've never met God and that doesn't bother you, then you're in an awful position. Matter of fact, a man can go so far that the Lord won't bother you no more with it. You can go so far that God won't deal with you anymore. He did say in Genesis 6 and 3, my spirit will not always strive with man. Amen, that's right. He did say in Romans 1 that they would turn them to a reprobated mind. He said in Jeremiah 5 and 6 that become as reprobate silver, that is to be cast out. In other words, he'd never bother them again. Let them live like they will, he said in Romans 1, and die without concern. If you're lost and undone, and that does not bother you, you're in a terrible sort of position. The lost occupy a place. Some occupy, as the lost man, occupy a place of unconcern. Many of the lost occupy the place of the uninformed. Amen. Some of the lost occupy the place of the uninformed. And the sad thing is, they're getting absolutely nothing from most churches that they attend. Amen. I mean, they get made to feel better. They get talked to about their best life now. Amen. That's right. Oh, yes, they feel warm and fuzzy. They come to church and go home and believe they did a good thing, and just as lost as what they were when they came that way. They gave penance. They gave confession. They've been baptized and sprinkled and confirmed and wormed and sprayed and dipped. But I'm telling you, they've never been saved, and they're uninformed, and they think they're going to heaven because of some religious ritual. But I want to tell you something, friend. There is but one way to Jesus. One way to heaven, that's through Jesus Christ. It is repentance toward God. Repentance is the act of turning from and turning to. It's turning from idols to serve the living God. It's turning from sin to God. It's turning from self to the Savior. It's turning from hell to heaven. It's turning from your way to God's way. It's taking sides with the Word of God against yourself and agreeing with Jesus that you're wrong and trusting in Him to save you. It is repentance toward God. And then it's also faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just turning. It's trusting. Amen. It's not just departing. It's believing. Hey, I want to tell you, if you turn but don't trust, you'll never be saved. And if you trust but don't turn, you'll never be saved. It's repentance toward God. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And many, my friend, are trusting in other things because they're occupying the place of the uninformed. God have mercy. God have mercy. But they must be informed of a few things in order to be saved. 2 Corinthians 4:3 said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Amen. Have there so many, my friend, that are lost that have heard about Jesus. They've seen the church steeple. They've, my friend, seen a Bible. They know that kind of stuff. But they truly and really have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel that they need in order to be saved. Amen. It's hid to them that's lost. They're uninformed, my friend. Oh, but there's a few things you need to know in order to be saved. Let me run through them right quick. I'll not preach all night on this, and Lord dealt a lot with it this morning. But I want to say, if you're going to be saved, there's some things you need to know. You need to know, first of all, that God hates sin. God is above all things holy. He's a thrice holy God, according to Isaiah 6. He's holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, and He hates sin. And secondly, you need to know that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. There is nobody that is without sin. I'm telling you, friend, he that saith that he hath not sinned is a liar, and the truth is not in him. He deceives his own self. I tell you, friend, you need to know that man has sinned. You need to know that you have sinned. Oh, yes. It's not enough to know that, hey, everybody's sinned. Everybody's done wrong. You ain't standing in judgment for everybody. You'll stand for yourself. And when you stand before God, what everybody else did won't matter. What will matter is that you need to know that you have sinned. Amen. Know that God hates sin. Know that all, that we all have sinned. They all have turned unto our own way. All have gone astray, turned to our own way. Amen. But you also need to know that the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Amen. Know that Jesus, who never sinned, died for our sin. He who knew no sin became sin, so that we who knew no righteousness could become the righteousness of God in him. Know ye not about his poverty? How that though he was rich, he became poor, so that ye, for Christ's sake, might be made rich. I'm telling you, friend, hey, thank God. Every man sinned, and God hates sin, but Jesus loves sinners. Woo! And he committed his love towards us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he gave his life in our stead. He became our substitute. He occupied our place on the cross. And since he stood in our place, we can stand in his place. I can stand in his presence, for he stood in my place. He was our substitute. You need to know that Jesus, who never sinned, died for our sins. You need to know that Jesus rose again to give us power over death and the judgment of sin. Death, hell, and the grave. Amen. He rose on the third day. He's alive just sure as you are. Matter of fact, he's more alive than you'll ever be in this world. Amen. Because he's alive to die no more. Hallelujah. And he became the first fruits from the dead. And there's more fruits to follow. And that's us who have put our trust in him, repented of our sins, repented toward God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so it is that he has risen so we can have power over death, hell, and the grave. You need to know that he, my friend, will save you if you believe and repent unto him when the Spirit of God's calling. You need to know that he'll save you. Listen, Jesus is in the business of saving sinners. Hey, you might think you've been too far or gone too much, but there's nobody so bad the Lord can't save them, and there's nobody so good that they don't need saving. And so that puts us all in that category, and everybody needs to be saved, and the Lord can save everybody. By save, I mean just what I'm saying. He can deliver you. He can rescue you. Oh, my friend, somebody said, I'm not in trouble. You can't get saved then. I mean, when you get in trouble and the Lord gets you in trouble and you realize you're on your way to hell without help and hope and there ain't nothing you can do to save yourself, you're in trouble and you need somebody to rescue you, don't you? You need somebody to deliver you. When you say, I'm saved, you said a mouthful. You said that I once was in distress. Amen. That's exactly right. I once was in despair. I have been delivered, and I now am different. Amen. I mean, friend, hey, you're saying something when you say, I'm saved. Amen. Well, you need to know that He'll save you if you believe and repent of your sins whenever He's calling on you. You need to know to do it now, for tomorrow may never come. Amen. You need to know to do it now. And the Holy Ghost is calling on you. You need to know to do it now. You don't get saved when you decide to get saved. You get birth in the family of God. God pulls you out of the pit when He's a calling on you. While He's extending a hand of mercy. While He's speaking to your heart. How will you know? You just know. You know it when I'm talking to you, don't you? Then why in the world don't you think you'll know it when the Lord's a talking to you? Somebody said, would He speak to you in an audible voice? Oh no. It's a whole lot louder than that. Amen. And I knew it when He was speaking to my heart. And you'll know. You'll know. Oh, I'm saved, preacher, but He's never talked to me. Then you've never been saved. Amen. He's going to have to draw you. No man cometh to the Father except my Father, which has sent me, draw him. I'm telling you, you'll know it when conviction falls on your life and the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Amen. You'll know it. Amen. Thank God. The lost occupy a place of unconcern. The lost occupy a place of the uninformed. The lost occupy a place of unbelief. Really and truly, that's why everybody that's lost is still lost. It's because they're occupying a place of unbelief. Amen? That's exactly right. Jesus did say in John 3:16, and we quote it so wonderfully, and thankfully for it, my friend, that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son, verse 17 said, into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Most of the time, that's as far as anybody goes. But verse 18 said, for he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the Son of God. I want to tell you something, friend. People that are unbelieving, people that will not trust in Jesus, those who have not given their hearts to the Lord, occupied a place of unbelief, and they're already under condemnation. They're already on their way to hell. Occupy a place of unbelief. They occupy a place of condemnation because of it. Amen. And listen, when we preach, we don't have to preach to condemn people. We don't have to live to condemn people. They're condemned already. If you have not trusted in Jesus as your only and all-sufficient hope, you're already condemned. You don't have hope outside of Jesus. I mean, friend, you're not going to be here forever. You're not going to... Hey, listen, I don't have hope just in this life. Hey, I don't have hope, my friend, in this life outside of Jesus. Now, I sure don't have any hope out, my friend, outside of this life out of Jesus. It's Jesus and Him alone. I mean, friend, you can't leave earth without it. You better be saved. You better know that you know that you know that you know that you've been born again. Amen. Well, I'm glad you can't know. I think I'm saved. I think I've been baptized one time. I think I'm going to heaven. Think so, ain't going to cut it. I write unto you these things. John said, I write these things unto you, my little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. Amen. That you may know. I'm glad it's no so. It ain't a hope so, Brother Thompson. It's no so. Now, I'm thankful for that. I'm glad I know. I don't know because Mama told me, Daddy told me, the preacher told me. I know because he told me way down in here. And the night I repented, turned to my sins, I called on God to rescue me, deliver me, to save me. He did just exactly what I asked Him to. Amen. Woo! And I've been saved ever since. Thank God. That's exactly right. Still saved today. And when it comes back, I'll still be saved. Amen. The lost occupy a place of unconcern, of the uninformed, of unbelief. I want to say the saved occupy a place. They occupy a place in the business of God. Now listen, I'm not trying to make a mockery, and don't go off saying I said something I didn't say. I don't believe serving God's a business as in a money-making endeavor. That's not what I'm talking about, not by any means. We got way too much of that. We don't need no crooks in the ministry, at least not no more than what we already got now. Amen. And we're not looking for that. God don't put any premium on dishonesty and on, my friend, falsehoods and so forth in business. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being up and about the Father's business. I'm talking about serving God. I'm talking about living for God. The saved are to occupy until He comes. That is to operate in business. That is to keep the shelves stocked with merchandise such as mercy, grace, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I'm talking about occupying until Jesus comes. The saved are to occupy a place in the business of God. What kind of place is it, preacher? It is a place of relationship. I want to say this is a family business. And the only way to get in the business of God is to get in the family. Amen. We don't hire outsiders. The Lord doesn't hire people outside of the family into the family business. If you're going to be a servant of the Lord, if you're going to work on His payroll, you're going to have to get adopted in the family of the Lord. It's a family business. Amen. It's a it's a business of relationship. It's a place of relationship. It's a relationship, a matter of relationship with the Father. I mean, friend, if you've known the Father, Jesus said, you've known Me. And if you know Me, you've known the Father. It's a place of relationship with the Father. I'm glad whenever we'd bow our heads in Sunday school, Brother Matthew, and say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. I'm glad I'm not in trouble. And to my friend, I'm glad I'm not foreign to what that is, but I'm calling on My Father. And beloved, we are now the sons of God. And that is a place of relationship with the Father. Amen. It's a place of relationship with the Father. It's a place of relationship with the family. Amen. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. I'm a part of the family of God. There's a reason why that we say brother and sister. There's a reason why, my friend, when one hurts, another hurts. There's a reason why our concern is for each other. Because we're not just a bunch of strangers from off the street that come in here and sit down together, my friend. But we're family. Wait a minute. I might not even know who your mom and daddy was. I might not even know, my friend, anything about your background. We may not be any blood kin. At least not for hundreds of generations anyway. But I want to tell you something, friend. If you've been saved by God's grace, and you're the young one of the Lord, you're a child of God, I am too, we're brothers and sisters, and I've got a family. Amen. It's a place of relationship. It's a family business. I'm glad to be in the family, aren't you? I'm glad to occupy a place of relationship with the Father, a place of relationship with the family, a place of the relationship with a friend. Amen. I mean, the proverb did say, if a man would have friends, he must first show himself to be friendly. Then there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Bible did say of Abraham that he believed God, and he was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I'm glad we've got a place with our friend, the Lord Jesus. And He's looking out for us. I'm thankful for that. This place of relationship is achieved through a spiritual birth. It positions us to claim His promises and receive His provisions. Amen. Hey. Hallelujah. When I was a boy, I had some friends that the daddy owned a convenience store. And now and again, I'd go home, stay with them. And man, we'd always want to take a trip to the store. I mean, we wanted to take a trip to the store. And I never was one big on going anywhere, much less to shopping. But, buddy, when I was with them, I wanted to go to the store. Because I knew when we got to that convenience store, see, Daddy owned the store, man. You didn't have to worry about him having to buy you something. Daddy owned the store. Everything in there belonged to him. It was like one big, large candy pantry. I'm telling you, Daddy owned the store. And we could go in there, and he'd say, Daddy, can we get some candy? I was just home for the ride, man. I wasn't a member of the family. I was just home for the ride. And they'd say, Daddy, can we get some candy? He said, son, go get whatever you want. Toby, pick out what you want. You're with them. And didn't have to worry about paying for it. I could get the biggest Coca-Cola they had and a candy bar. When Daddy got us some, he only got one of those. You got a Coke or a candy bar. You didn't get both. And there's three of us, and he said for us to share. Well, now, who wants to share a candy bar with two other people? And so we always wound up with a Coke. I didn't even hardly know what a candy bar tasted like until I got in college outside of going down to that fella's store. But he'd say, hey, go get what you want. I'd get a Coke, and I'd get me one of them Twix bars, you know, with the caramel and the cookie and the chocolate. Man, I'm telling you, I'd be ready to walk the ceilings by the time I got done with that stuff on a sugar and chocolate high. Amen. But I want to say, friend, that's the way it is when you're in the family business. You've been given all the promises, all the provisions, woo! All the blessings and privileges that there is in this business. I want to say, friend, while we're occupied, if you're a standing in need, while we're stuck in the shells and are doing business for the Lord, if you're standing in need, He's all you need. He'll supply your need. He'll take care of you, my friend. Just take what you need. It belongs to the family. If you're a part, you've got rights to it all. Amen. Bless His name. That makes me want to run a lap. Thank God. If you're saved, you occupy a place in the business of God. It's a place of relationship. I want to say it's a place of discipleship. Everybody loves a relationship, but it ain't everybody loves a discipleship. You see, there's the problem of the flesh when it comes to the discipleship. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, except a man deny himself, take up his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. I mean, you got to deny yourself. It's this issue of putting the flesh and its desires and longings, ambitions and goals on the back burner and living for God. Somebody said, it's my life. Live it like I want to. It ain't if you're saved. You give up all the rights of that when you come to Calvary. It's now the Lord to live in you. I live, nevertheless not I, but Christ that liveth within me. I'm saying, friend, hey, if you're saved, it's God's life. You gave your life to Him. The problem of the flesh, this issue of discipleship, this place, my friend, the business of God, is a place of discipleship. There is the problem of the flesh, and you'll always have to deal with that, but you must do daily. Take up your cross. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Him. Crucify the flesh daily. Amen. That's right. A place of discipleship. I want to say there is the problem of the flesh when it comes to discipleship. And then there's the production of fruit when it comes to discipleship. Amen. The Lord saved us to make disciples of us. Not so you could just enjoy coming to church on Sunday. Not so, my friend, you could just have a hope of heaven. But He saved us, according to Romans 7:4, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. He expects you to be productive. Amen. Amen. That's right. There ought to be some things producing in your life. Ought to be some things, but you ought to produce a lifestyle that people can see the Lord's working in. Amen. You ought to produce a testimony that causes others to get hungry for Jesus. Amen. That's right. He said, occupy until I come. Keep doing business. Keep telling others. Keep put. Hey, what is our merchandise? Is our merchandise not the old story that never grows old? Is our merchandise not the old blessed gospel? The good news? Would you keep occupying? Keep stocking the shelves with the gospel? Keep telling others how good it is to be saved? Keep singing, I'd rather be an old time Christian than anything I know? Keep spreading the news that you don't have to go to hell? That there's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be a disciple and occupy till Jesus comes. I occupy a place in the business of God, a place of discipleship, produce some fruit. There's the problem of the flesh, the production of fruit. Then there's the prospect of our future. Nearly every business that starts in this world starts to end someday. Many of men go out, start a business, only for it to end in bankruptcy. Only for it to end possibly in bad news. Maybe to end in losing everything they got, losing their hat and all the stuff they had in it. I mean, friend, there's a lot of folks that goes out and starts a business for those, and it ends that way. Some go out and start a business and see it very successful, very booming, very prosperous and so forth. But then there comes a time and a day where the health fails them and they're no longer able to perform the activities of their daily business. And the business goes out of business. Many businesses have stayed in business 50, 75, 100 years. But then you drive by one day and you see a sign that says going out of business. Sale and they're unloading inventory and the business is going out. Maybe it's because of the health of the owners. Maybe it's because of the age of the ownership. Maybe it's because of the death of the ownership. They go out of business. The time comes that the family doesn't carry on the business anymore. Those that did carry it on have passed away. And the new ones, the younger ones, those that's been passed on, care nothing about carrying on the business anymore. And so the business goes out of business. And so my friend, the shop goes out of business. The merchandiser goes out of business. But what are the prospects for our future? As some, my friend, work their whole lives. When it comes to retirement time, that's the time they lose it all. And they lose that business and they get nothing out of it and wind up somewhere other. Lonely and broke and everything gone. What's our prospects? If you're in this family business for the Lord, I want to say, friend, hey, the business will not shut down till Jesus comes and closes it down and all of us are continuing to occupy. Hey, there is a retirement package that is out of this world, the likes of which you cannot imagine. You won't have to worry about Social Security. You don't have to worry about your check coming in on the third. You don't have to worry about Democrats and Republicans raiding the trough. I want to say the Lord's got it all taken care of. And when our business is done here, there'll be a reward over there. Be you therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. As much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Hey. Occupy, the saved occupy a place in the business of God. It's a place of relationship, discipleship. I want to finish with it. It is a place of fellowship. It is a place of fellowship. We do get to walk hand in hand with the Lord. Feel His touch. Hear His voice. But sin will prevent this fellowship. Isaiah 60:1, he said, the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save, and his ear is not heavy that he cannot hear, but sin has separated you and your God. Psalm 66:8 said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Sin will keep you from fellowship with God. I forget which great preacher it was. Maybe it was George Whitefield or one of those great men. I can't remember recall which one it was now. His mother gave him a Bible, and in the front of the Bible she had written down, Jonathan Edwards is who it was. His mother had written down in the front of his Bible that this book will either separate you from sin or sin will separate you from this book. And that's right, there's fellowship to be had in the Lord, but sin can rob you of your fellowship. Occupy a place of fellowship. Don't let sin rob. Preacher Minor, S.J. Minor used to say, don't let the devil take your crown. Amen? And that's right. Don't let him take away your place of fellowship. And so, my friend, there is a place of fellowship. Sin will prevent it. I want to say the Scriptures will promote it. Amen? The Scriptures will promote fellowship. You remember what Psalms 1 said, don't you? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate both day and night. He shall be as a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit
there's a production in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, sinners should not stand in the congregation of the righteous, my friend, nor the ungodly should not stand, my friend, in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. He's talking about in that whole chapter the blessings of the man that dwells on the Word of God. You want to fellowship with the Lord? Find out what He has to say. Amen. Let His Word speak to your inner man. Let Him speak to your soul. Soak up the blessed Word of God. Hey, friend, I thought about preaching tonight on faith. And may I say, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And how shall they hear except to be a preacher? And how shall he preach except to be sent? I want to tell you something, friend. You ought to get in church every chance you get. You ought to hear the Word of God every chance you get. And you ought to read the Word of God on a regular and daily basis. I mean, friend, this book, that Scripture will promote fellowship.
You know what I found out? I found out it is real hard. Possible, but real hard for me to get to a place where I can't feel God in fellowship when I'm studying my Bible like I should. Very seldom in my life have I got to the place where I was just cold all over and couldn't feel God nowhere when I was reading my Bible like I ought to. Now, there's been some times I got cold and then I got to read my Bible like I ought to, and it took me a while before I got to snuggle up next to Him again. But there's been very few times I've continued in what I knew to do right in reading the Word of God and failed to have the fellowship that I needed. The Scriptures promote fellowship. I want to say finally, the Spirit provides fellowship. The Spirit provides fellowship. He'll walk with you on a daily basis. I'm glad He said He'll never leave us, never forsake us. He'll be with us all the way to the end of the world. I'm thankful for that. I'm glad He gave us a faithful Spirit that'll dwell in you. He said, if it's good for you that I go away, for if I go not away, a Comforter will not come. But He said, when I am gone, the Comforter will come. He'll teach you in all the ways of truth and right. I'm glad we've got somebody living within me. Somebody lives in me. In me, friend. I'm talking about on the inside of me. Somebody's living in here. And we have fellowship. Provides fellowship. Provides it. It's through the Spirit of God. I mean, friend, it's through the Spirit of God you digest the Word of God. The Spirit searcheth out the things of God. Yea, even the deep things of God, He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We don't know it. The flesh don't know it. But the Spirit searches it out. Lets us see into the Word of God. It's a spiritually discerned book. You don't hear from heaven because you decided to. You heard from heaven because the Spirit of God works in your heart. You can't pray without the Spirit of God. No, you cannot read your Bible. You can't pray without Him. Not really pray and get through to heaven. You call words. You can say prayers, but you can't pray. But I'm glad that He intercedes for us when we don't even know how to pray as we ought. He said in Romans 8, the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. When you don't even know what to ask for, how to pray, or how to put all the words together to say what you need, and don't even, and absolutely sure what it is that you do need. He intercedes for us. He takes your needs to God. When all you can do is moan and groan and cry and weep, He knows how to take your needs to God. You can't even pray without the Spirit. Oh, but brother, when you pray in the Spirit, and when you read in the Spirit, and then when you live in the Spirit, and you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you can live in victory, and you can live in peace, and you can occupy a place in the business of God. Amen. A place of fellowship. A place of discipleship. A place of relationship. I want to ask you this, friend. When He comes, and He is coming, occupy, He said, till I come, not if I come. He is coming. When He comes, will He find you simply occupying a place? Or will you be occupying in the will of God? Will you be doing business for the Lord? You occupy a place of unconcern, of the uninformed, of unbelief. Oh, my. Or do you have a precious place in the relationship, discipleship, and fellowship of the Lord? I wonder tonight, do you know Him? I'm done preaching. I wish you'd come with a song. Occupy until I come. Occupy till I come. He said this, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. We'll not work for him. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called to him, to whom he had given the money, he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. He said, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Second came and saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise unto him, be thou over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth I will judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, takest up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that every one which hath shall be given. And from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Our Lord has gone away to receive his kingdom. He's left us to occupy till he comes. And he will come back and take an account on how we occupy. And every man will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the deeds done in this body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. That's just the facts. And if you've never met the Lord, if you're like these people that say, I will not have this man to rule over me, there will come a day when he says, bring them hither and slay them before me. They'll be cast in the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone forever, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and there will be no end. You better get things right with God while you got a chance. While he's merciful, while he's calling, while he's extending a hand of grace. Put your trust in Jesus. Repent of your sins and turn to Jesus and be saved. You're here serving God, trying to live for the Lord. You better occupy till Jesus comes. You do realize just because you've been saved don't mean when you get to judgment you won't have to answer, don't you? You do know that, don't you? We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the deeds done in this body. Or you better live for God. Don't live for God just because of the judgment, but do live for God because of the judgment. Have a deeper motivation inside of you than just that, but do be reminded that there is a judgment coming. And I want to hear him say, well done. I want him to be pleased with what I've done. Notice he didn't chew this man out that had 5. That other guy got 10. Said, well, you could have just chewed him out. He should have had 10 like the other fella. He wasn't another fella. The Lord don't expect you to be somebody else. But when you stand before him, you want to be able to stand before him having fruit, saying, Lord, I did my best to occupy, to stay in business until you came. Would you stand? You need to come. I wish you'd come pray. You need to come. Maybe kneel in this altar and do business with the Lord. I wish you'd come.
Beyond the borders of time, there's a beautiful land, a world of God's glory unfurled. And by the grace of God, I someday will call it my home. I never miss heaven for the world. I'd never miss seeing Jesus. I'd never miss seeing. we've known here below.